The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
Five minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time. And it's Thursday, December 1st, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. And, of course, we're having a little difficulty on the telephone connecting with Matthew Landman. So we're going to open up our phone lines to everybody else, 844-769-2944, to comment on what you just heard with our interview with Dr. John Lott on gun control, about all the craziness going on in the world. And, of course, the cyber sale is still going on at the Power Mall. And if you don't want to mess around with the internet, to go on thepowermall.com, you can call 877-817-9829 and talk to Jay or Linda, and they will take your order. $75 you spend, you get 15% off the order, and you don't have to worry about, you know, you just, it's going to happen. We're going to do that even if you call the toll-free number, 877-817-9829. And of course, that if you're, you know, Heaven's Harvest emergency storable food and seeds, those are drop shipped separate from this. The winter wellness bundle, however, because we're trying to keep everybody healthy, we'll be talking about some of the COVID news here in just a minute. But the silver lozenges times two, vitamin C and vitamin D, you know, it's $70.90. The sale price is $53. And when you add the silver gel, 24 part per million, and the Optivita silver liquid, 10 part per million, which, of course, I have my glass of water right here, which has the Optivita silver liquid in it. If you're watching me on the rebroadcast on Rumble and Brighteon, you see me drinking it. That's how I stay healthy, folks, and that's how we stay in shape to be able to go on and do this program, because we want to maintain our health no matter what. The world is a very dark, dangerous place these days. At least that's our perception of it. Of course, now there's, you know, two things that we can do to overcome a lot of it. One is to stop watching the mainstream media and getting frustrated by every little thing that's going on. However, if we didn't watch the mainstream media, we wouldn't have known that Department of Homeland Security is trying to pull all the air marshals off of airline flights. Wow, who's protecting the skies if the air marshals are pulled off to go defend the border? I mean, they're not babysitters. They have a designated job that air marshals train for. They train in a very small enclosed area, which is the fuselage of a commercial aircraft, to prevent it from being hijacked. And had they been paying more attention to what was going on, perhaps we wouldn't have had 9/11. But wait a minute. I know what you conspiracy theorists out there are saying. You're thinking to yourself, yeah, where was the air marshal on all four of those planes that targeted the United States and caused us to have to go to war in Iraq and point a finger at Saddam Hussein? That's right, Saddam Hussein, weapons of mass destruction. And come to find out, there weren't any. The only weapon of mass destruction was the what many consider to be a false flag attack, starting with what the little Bushite was doing down in Florida in a school, reading a book upside down when he was whispered in the ear that we were under attack, and sat there stoic. And we're like, really? And then little Dickie Cheney, who isn't around anymore to answer all of our questions. Yeah, we can't take him out and give him the Benito Mussolini treatment. We can't do that now because he's already pushing up daffodils. But you got to wonder, he's eight floors below directing traffic. Wonder what kind of traffic he was directing. And if anybody has watched the 9/11 Pentagon strike video on Daily Motion, there's a lot of unanswered questions this video definitely presents. It's only 5 minutes and 41 seconds long. But I guarantee it will send chills down your spine like it did mine just now when you realize what the content is and all of these different places. And we all have a little assumptions of what happened. The thing is how much can you trust the government? How much can you trust the government to help you out? That's very damn difficult. And see, we have lots of little things that we interject, like what's happening with this mRNA genetic code. The unintended consequence of this Operation Warp Speed. Oh, we've got a solution to the China virus, and come to find out, this stuff wasn't tested. And the protocols weren't followed. And now, from what we're being told, the mRNA genetic code is permanent. Huh. Now, what is that going to mean when you have all this stuff floating around? And we have pictures. We have pictures on our email blast that you're going to be getting of blood samples taken from the vaccinated that show you all the different garbage. And boy, this stuff doesn't look like blood and platelets and whatnot. Blood, red blood cells. This doesn't look anything like it. It looks like little metallic things shaped like worms and real weird stuff like metal. Graphene oxide particles if you use an electron microscope. I mean, this is pretty crazy stuff. And then to extrapolate that, what happens when they decide to implement the kill switch through the use of something like 5 or 6G? And with that, I guess I got to welcome Matthew Landman to the show and ask him that very question. What happens then? Are people going to start dropping dead like flies because all of a sudden the graphene oxide in their brain starts kicking in and chewing up their blood vessels and causing them to have strokes and drop dead right there on the spot?
Hi, thanks for having me on. That's a good question. I can't necessarily predict that. I know that some of the jabs were placebo, so not everybody's going to be impacted, but it does seem like there is an interplay with the ingredients and the 5G as they turn it up. It's just like everything. For instance, the aluminum in the chemtrails or the aluminum in the deodorant and all the different ways we get aluminum, that interacts with the fluoride in the water, right? So it's a slow, calculated kill where they give you one ingredient and then the other and then the other, and then they activate it, you know, slowly down the line. So the answer to your question is probably, yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, so this is the thing. You have, you've got an MBA, and we've had Dane Wigington, who I'm sure you're aware of him and what he's doing with geoengineeringwatch.org. And I'm just kind of curious, because of the effects of geoengineering, what prompted you to raise awareness on all this?
Well, my story is I was working on a farm in Northern California in the midst of a catastrophic drought, and I witnessed weather engineering. I didn't know anything of it. I was a young man from the East Coast. I knew a little bit about truth waking up to 9/11, but I didn't know much. And then when I learned about chemtrails and no one else knew about it, I dove in, made the movie Frankenskies, which you can find for free at frankenskies.com. Please check it out. It's an 80-minute expose. It's really good. It starts off in the 1920s, and it goes through the chronological timeline of weather engineering, weather modification history. By the time you're 20, 30 minutes in, there's no questioning it. You know, you can't argue with the information. It's not even my footage. It's from the 1920s and 30s and 40s, and by the time it gets to the 60s, it's obvious that they've sharpened their tools to control and manipulate the weather and that we are not privy to the information.
But the 20s, 30s, and 40s, I mean, technology really wasn't that great back then. How did they do that? How did they, I mean, they just start polluting the water or introducing stuff into society that was causing all of this? I mean, I know the Rockefellers took over modern medicine in the 20s and 30s, but I didn't think technology was that far advanced back then, past Los Alamos. I mean, that happened in the late 40s, early 50s.
Surprisingly, it was. In 1914, the city of San Diego hired a Professor Hatfield, and he built a tower like 35 feet tall. And he had this theory that as clouds went by, he could spray chemical constituent aerosolized dust to seed clouds. So seeding clouds, making clouds drop rain, it's all the way back to rain dances and those particulates from the smoke and bringing rain in. It's been going on for a long time. And when they started doing it in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, they actually were spraying with planes dry ice, which is frozen carbon dioxide, to seed clouds. And now they use silver iodide. But it's very simple and easy. It's just that we're not told about it nowadays in the media. But it was common knowledge back in the 60s and 70s. People knew all about it.
So the thing is now we're being inundated with chemtrails. We can see them. They're perfectly obvious, and people look at these things and go, oh, how pretty. Look at jet wash. No. No, we know it's not. In fact, we've had several listeners to this show call up and talk about this supposed snow they have in the ground that just doesn't seem to want to melt. Do you know what's in that stuff?
Well, in the chemtrails, there's the primary constituents are aluminum, barium, and strontium, and then they'll throw in different stuff, lithium, you name it, really, mercury, depends on what they're playing with and experimenting in these different spots, which a lot of people want to know solutions. And yeah, I've seen the videos of the snow not melting, and when they're messing with the weather so much, it's not surprising. People have sent in their rainwater samples, and there's cadmium and lead and all that sort of stuff. But a really empowering solution that I've found is to get the minerals in your body so you're not mineral deficient, and then you're not absorbing all these toxins from the environment. So I take a bioavailable mineral supplement called sea moss, and the sea moss that I get, it's got a bladderwrack and burdock in it, so it's got 104 bioavailable minerals. Take it every day. And then when you're not needing all these minerals and you're not absorbing everything from the environment, trying to get up to speed on your magnesium and calcium and all that sort of stuff, you're not absorbing the toxic radioactive cadmium that they sprayed in the air that day, you know? And then everyone else is, but you've got a leg up on it because you're just mineralized and you're not being a victim to it. So that's kind of a cool aspect. When you start to really grasp the truth and learn about it, you can embrace it, honor the truth with integrity, and take it to the next level, which is empowering yourself and embracing, you know, the solutions and not just being a victim to it.
Okay, 844-769-2944 is the number to call if you want to chime in on the conversation. You may have questions that I haven't thought of, folks, and that's why we open up those phone lines. Now, as far as the you hosted a third global summit to stop geoengineering in Tucson, Arizona, protesting the Scopex sky dimming experiment. That was Gates, wasn't it?
Yes, that was Bill Gates. That was quite a journey. That was in 2018. I got arrested at that conference. I'm pretty sure Bill Gates or somebody hired this goon to come and disrupt the whole thing, and it was a mess, but everything got cleared up and what have you. They're just trying to disrupt my whole deal. But it was amazing. I moved to Arizona. Took about a year to rally the world, and on May 12th, 2018, the world came together. It was quite amazing. We packed this conference hall, and I stood up there, and I was like, where's everyone from? No one was from Arizona. They had heard about it and came together to protest this sky-dimming experiment where Bill Gates funded Harvard and David Keith. We're going to spray from a balloon aluminum particulates of different nano size to see which ones are best to dim the sun in the desert of Arizona. And so we brought a lot of attention to it, me and the other activists of the region. And the world, especially the local community, they knew, not necessarily that chemtrails are real, but they all rallied together to protest this experiment. It was really something else. So we came and had a protest on Mother's Day for Mother Earth, and we had a concert and the conference, and word got around, and they didn't do that experiment. So that was a really huge success for humanity and activism and all that. But what they do it every day anyways, but that was something that they wanted to put on the headlines that, look, we're doing this, it's for your own good. But now they're just sugarcoating it and doing it a different way. But at least we had that, you know?
Well, it's a real problem in my book, because how do they know what we want? You know, now I have rainwater collection barrels, and I'm wondering, should I be using rainwater to, the thing is, without filtering it, is filtering rainwater even going to be of any use if it has graphene oxide and all this other crap in it that's reportedly in it? I mean, do we know what's in rainwater? If there are chemtrails in the skies and it rains, what do we have?
Right, and these heavy metals are hopefully not so bioavailable if you're treating your body good and you're up to speed on your minerals. I think that with a reverse osmosis machine, you know, I mean, distillation definitely cleans stuff out. But yeah, you have to go through quite the process just to get your water clean enough. But I think that if you take that water and put it on your plants, the plants take what is bioavailable and they don't take what they don't need. And I think that the plants can clean up the the water. I wouldn't be drinking straight rainwater or anything like that. You know what I mean? But there's ways around it. And yeah, it does seem like that they're messing with the rain, even biocontaminants. I've got friends on farms that sometimes they spray like crazy and the rains come and then their produce and crop is, you know, totally overcome with fungus and mold and stuff like that. So there's all sorts of things that are getting sprayed that we have to be privy to and then learn how to adapt, right?
All right. So now you don't see this stopping anytime soon. I mean, is there legislation afoot or has anybody approached you or have you approached anyone about putting legislation forward on the federal level to stop all this nonsense? Or is it just one put it on a continuous loop, so to speak?
Well, the thing is the they, which is a trigger word for some people, but they would have to admit that they're doing it ongoing and have been, you know, for some time. And there's no admission. There's no transparency. There's no scrutiny. There's just talk of doing it in the future because, oh, global warming is so bad, which I'm not even on that narrative. But the thing is if they aren't admitting they're doing it, then it's like this covert new world order, whatever you want to call it. It's happening. But if they're not admitting it or even telling us what they're spraying or where they're spraying it from or how they're doing it, and we have to put the puzzle pieces together on our own, then how could we try to get legislation to get them to stop? Yes, people have tried, but like for fluoride in your community, for instance, they admit it and there's a budget for it and you can get it on the agenda and protest it and get the signatures and vote and likely get it out if you do it right. I mean, most communities can get it out, but you can't get them to stop spraying the chemtrails because it's a covert operation, military, NASA, a lot of sort of stuff ongoing. And how do they get away with it? They tell themselves, well, firstly, they're compartmentalized on a need to know basis, all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, they're told that they're saving the planet by dimming the sunlight and preventing the globe from heating up too fast, which has got so many problems with it. What they're really doing is creating a greenhouse effect by making the aluminum trap the heat, but they don't get it because they're not the scientists. And they're, like I said, on a need to know basis. And they think that they're doing something good with this top secret, like ongoings.
Well, see, and a lot of this to me is elitism at its best operating the way it is. And we'll talk about specifically identifying they and who they are, as far as what knowledge we do have here in a second. Chance in West Virginia, you're on the phone with Matt Landman. Go ahead.
Yes, hello, Dave. Hello, Matt. Dave, I don't know if you're aware, but another host on your network, Ted Brower, down in Florida, he said he personally collected samples of the rainwater and had it tested, and it did contain aluminum, strontium, and other chemicals in it. And I don't know if you are aware of that.
I haven't had mine tested yet, but I have been collecting rainwater here in barrels off my roof. And the thing is that I have a lot of oak trees that have leaves on it. I don't know how much filtration that's actually doing before it gets onto the roof and into the system, because I have a metal roof. So the thing is that when you're looking at stuff like this and you're trying to process it, I have poured it on my plants. What Matthew has said already is I wouldn't be drinking it unless it was filtered. I get that. But the thing is that he went so far as to test it. I haven't done it yet. Perhaps I should, because I really don't want to give it to my livestock, because I value, you know, having fresh farm eggs. And, you know, I haven't had to buy dozens of eggs at the store like I used to anymore. But, you know, the thing is, the plants, that makes sense. But giving it to the animals, I don't think so. I've got a filtration system from James McCanney in my house, the sterilizer, the UV, all of that stuff. And then I've got reverse osmosis in the sink as well, you know, for human consumption. So, I mean, I haven't gone the distilling route yet. So, I mean, there's only so much that we can do. And there are people out there that are selling water ionizers and stuff that, you know, boosts the pH. I mean, we're all looking for that solution, which I appreciate, but I'm glad that you are aware or became aware that we've had at least one talk show host that has tested this stuff. What was the actual result or conclusion out of the test? I guess he took off.
I think he said aluminum, barium.
Yeah, and strontium. Yeah, we know that, but I don't know what he intended to do with that and what conclusion they drew as a result of what he found. Obviously, the thing is in Florida, when I was there, there were huge amounts of chemtrails in the skies there. A lot of people are accusing the government of manipulating Hurricane Ian prior to the elections in Southwest Florida. What's your thought on that? Still conspiracy theory, or does it look like it could have been real?
No, the Hurricane Ian was very much engineered, and there's a lot of different proofs showing that. Being that I'm in the position that I am, a lot of people send me data. And during that time frame, it was quite evident that it was being steered and then held into place. And the word rapid intensification was used. It didn't go and hit Tampa, which there's a base there and a lot of elite live there. And the claim is that there's like an Indian burial ground and hurricanes don't hit that space because of that, because they always glitch and go another direction. A lot of people were sending me radar imagery and whatnot, and you can see the NexRad stations, and like there's HARP antenna array in Alaska that steers storms, but now this technology has been shrunk down and localized, and there's things called NexRad and Doppler, and they'll actually steer storms, and you can see the rings of the kind of radar things pushing it through the moisture as the storm is being pushed around. You can see it through the imagery of the radar screenshots kind of thing. So that is something, and a lot of people witnessed all sorts of things during that time frame. But for people that are new to it, none of this sounds like completely like that telling. I think it's important for people to become activists themselves. Yeah, collect good samples of rainwater and send it in. There's a McCandles lab. If you just Google it, you can find the lab. And then you find, oh, wow, there is a lot of this in my rainwater, and maybe I should not have fluoride in my toothpaste or aluminum in my deodorant, and get healthier and think about those sort of things. Another way to take activism in your own hand is get an EMF meter and find out the EMF radiation in your home, and then mitigate that and unplug your Wi-Fi at night and what have you. I ended up making a EMF clothing line, Spero, S-P-E-R-O. It's a Latin word for hope. And I have Spero, S-P-E-R-O, gear.com. And I made a coupon code for your loyal listeners, Power Hour, no space, so that you all can get a discount on the EMF protection and all that sort of stuff. So check that out. But becoming an activist in your own way is everybody can do it in their own space. It's like meeting people on their level, where they're at, whether they be your coworker, your grandmother, or whatever it is. But you can bring that truth to people and plant those seeds. You can be an activist. It's just you know how to do it in your own space. Not everyone can tell you how to do it. You know what I mean?
Yep, we sure do. We're at the break right now with Matthew Landman. We will be back on the other side of the break. Continue this conversation about chemtrails and 5G. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Listen, one of the things that was not mentioned was the Oregadent. That's for when you brush your teeth. You just take it and put your toothpaste on your toothbrush and just take a couple drops of Oregadent and put that on your toothbrush and brush your teeth. And I'm telling you, that stuff, once I brush my teeth, I don't want to eat anything for a while. Anyway, it's wonderful. So I use it a couple times a day, and your teeth really do feel so fresh. It's going to help a lot the next time I go to the dentist. So I really appreciate you giving me the heads up about that one.
Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, you know, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.
Thirty-three minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, and of course we have been talking with Matt Landman has got an MBA, became aware of the effects of geoengineering. We've been talking about chemtrails and 5G, and just an FYI, from the Power Mall, we carry a product called Healthy Balance. It's made by Mother Earth Minerals. It's an 8-fluid-ounce bottle full of a combination of the most important minerals for optimal health. And you can, you know what the number is, 877-817-9829. For those of you who want to order a bottle of something very similar to what Matt was just talking about, that he takes to balance the system and keep the minerals flowing. So Frankenskies, was that an expensive documentary film to make?
All movies are expensive to make, yes. Yes, there's so much that goes into making a movie. People don't grasp it. And so many things that you fall in love with don't even end up in the movie. So, there's meteorologist Scott Stevens from Denver, Colorado. And I was living in Canada at the time. And I flew him in and interviewed him. And we hunted down Bill Vanderzam, who's the former premier of British Columbia, and he's a Canadian hero. And yes, getting the film equipment and a proper editor, and the film experience is something else. I highly recommend it. It's a beautiful thing and quite the endeavor. And I'm working on a sequel too, Frankenskies 2, Climate Chains, like Shackles.
Ooh, wow. Sounds interesting. We'll be looking forward to watching that. Esther in Washington, you're on the phone with Matt Landman. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Landman. Thank you for giving us more information on this really important subject. I have a question. Well, actually, I have several questions. What is the average weight of a chemical dump load in each plane or jet?
I couldn't say, because it's such a covert operation, and then they're aerosolized. Those canisters, they load them on the drone, and then they spray for a couple hours, and they get reloaded. But it's aerosolized, nano, metallic. I couldn't say, honestly. Usually you can't stump me, but that's a good question that I don't know necessarily the answer to.
All right, and then this process. System, the BEAST system, is literally all over the world. And so the question begs to be asked is, okay, what is the average weight of a chemical dump load? Who is supplying these chemicals? Which company, which corporation, or is it a government entity working with corporations that are supplying these chemicals? And then where are these chemicals coming from? And there's kind of, shadowy information going around that this is from nuclear waste from nuclear plants. It's not going underground anymore. It's going up in the skies.
So when you burn coal, there's in the smokestacks, there's these scrubbers that take that potentially really dark soot, that dark smoke, and they clean the smoke out so it's not super dark when it goes in the atmosphere. And those scrubbers get cleaned out, and that is coal fly ash, they call it. And that's supposed to be put in this big bladder and buried underground. It's toxic. But I think it goes straight to Air Force bases and what have you and gets refined, and they can pull out those different constituents really easy once they're in that nano form as soot. And then they can pull out the cadmium, aluminum, barium, strontium, whatever, and then mix it together in the sky. So a lot of it's coming from the byproduct of the coal burning power plants is what my understanding is. A lot of people have followed the money and done a lot of research and exposed that. A lot of people want to know the who, what, where, why, when, how, all that information so that they could grasp it and convey the message to their friend, family, and peers and wake other people up. But not all the information is readily available, so it gets super frustrating, and that's
another
one.
Question.
Yes, go ahead.
Another question is, thank you for that, who has ownership of the skies? Is it the state, the county, the federal government? I mean, I like hunters, if they come into my property, they can't shoot into my sky, into my space, which is the sky right above me. That's illegal. So who has priority over the skies?
I mean, these are great questions, and I've been at it for since 2015 at least, and these are great questions. So the FAA, I guess, would be the answer to your question, the people in charge of the airplanes, and they're supposed to be at a certain height, and, that's like international airspace basically, or I wish that I could say, yeah, you can't fly over my home, you know what I mean? But there's no transparency, therefore there's no scrutiny. If they were admitting that they're doing it, then we could be like, well, then don't do that over my home, because you're killing my freaking, you're giving my family Alzheimer's or whatever it is with the aluminum, or messing with my plants. But because they're not saying they're doing it, then we can't scrutinize and be like, well, don't do it so high or so low, and this is my airspace at a certain height and what have you. But yeah, who controls the airspace? I guess it would be the Federal Aviation Administration when you're talking domestic airspace.
Well, we own our property. I'm going to jump in here, Esther. Mm-hmm. We own the space in the air above our property into the immediate And I'm thinking several hundred feet up because of the air we breathe and how high we want to build. But technically, all that airspace belongs to the property owner until it gets infringed. So I understand what you're saying as far as firing rounds or whatever the case may be from hunters up in your property. The thing is that we do own the airspace above it. Spatial rights are vested in the property. But my question, we were talking about the money, because you mentioned the money, and I'm going to follow the money because of the fact that we don't want 87,000 IRS agents auditing people like us that disagree with what the government is doing. My question is why don't we just use the power of the purse and tell our Congress people, look, when the Appropriations Committee comes up, stop this funding for these federal programs that put this junk all over the place, that spray these chemtrails. Why not just shut up their funding so they can't do it?
Well, after 9/11, about half of Congress's budget that they sign off on went black ops. So they don't even know what they're signing off on, where the money's going and what have you. And then you've got other agencies like NASA that has a budget of $60 million per day. And they have a chemtrail program. It's called CARE. It's an acronym, C-A-R-E, Charged Aerosol Release Experiment. Easily looked up and searched and found. They won't completely admit exactly what they're doing, but they do say that they're spraying aluminum, barium, strontium in the atmosphere to make experimental clouds. They won't tell you how much, but with a budget of $60 million a day, I'd like to think that there would be more scrutiny and transparency on that one.
And here I thought that, you know, there's a possibility. Had I known that, you know, you were talking about Arizona, I would have played Little Fluffy Clouds by The Orb, which I'm sure you've heard that song.
Little I do
fluffy,
believe so.
Little Fluffy yeah, Clouds, the skies in Arizona, big. Little Fluffy Clouds. And now I've got everybody curious. They want to go listen to the song. It's on YouTube. It's called Little Fluffy Clouds. And yeah, it's by a group called The Orb. It's an 80s new age band, new wave band. But it's just, you know, yeah, it's crazy. But I mean, just all of a sudden, this just popped into my head because here we have NASA creating little fluffy clouds. Oh, by the way, we've had Scott Stevens on this program before. So It's a good thing that you pulled him in. Now, is Franken Skies 2, is he in that one as well?
No, he's basically a retired activist, I would say. But the film is plugging along, and there's a lot that's happening, like Agenda 2030, and what's happening in the UK right now will be in the film, which is they're regulating how much people can use hot water, and they're having people prepay for their heat, and it's becoming this weird technocracy kind of thing where there's a social credit kind of environment where they don't want people to shower more than a couple times a week and then rat out your neighbor if they shower too long and put the smart meter in to regulate everything. And it all goes hand in hand. It doesn't seem necessarily connected, but the entire green initiative and the agenda and the World Economic Forum and the reset and all that, it's to put this technology in your home, like smart meters and whatnot, to monitor you, to make sure you're not emitting too much carbon because of this whole scam that we produce too much carbon and we're creating global warming, when really they're making geoengineered events create heat waves and all this sort of stuff, and then pointing the finger at us, you know.
Well, we're just getting word in, by the way, that the Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs, who, of course, we know in Arizona, Carrie Lake, has said, no, I'm not conceding this race. There's a lot of hanky-panky going on, and Katie Hobbs is now threatening Arizona state officials with arrest if they fail to certify the election. Just thought you ought to know. That just came right across my screen. And yeah, I should probably, you know, dial that up and get more details on it. You all may want to duck, go that thing and do a little search bar on what Hobbs is doing right now, trying to secure her place in history. Albeit, you know, a lot of political dollars got spent like they are here. We were talking about black ops and stuff. I want to shift gears for a minute. I'm holding up my cell phone. It's an iPhone. I don't want to have this anymore, but I'm afraid even if I trade it in on a Motorola on an Android, the results are still going to be the same. Is a flip phone any different? I mean, do I need to get rid of the smartphone in order to dump 5G, or is it going to be with us? Is this something that we have to put up with and live with, and what are the effects of it by keeping it in our... I mean, I don't carry it in my pocket. I try to avoid carrying on my person at all, you know, and on all aspects because of what I heard it could do.
So with my EMF protection clothing and whatnot accessories company, I make these phone bags that you put your phone in and it completely kills the signal. It doesn't emit the radiation and all that. So that's part of how you can mitigate. Also, I have grounding mats, and you learn about grounding. There's ways to mitigate and learn about it. And then EMF will strip you of minerals, so got to get the minerals and all that. The smartphones are getting so advanced with the 5G that it's putting off a lot. And the iPhones, they put off a lot. So the answer to your question is yes and no. I have this old flip phone that Verizon's telling me at the end of this year, which I've got one more month, they're going to turn it off. They're not honoring this the 3G network. So you have to basically, to have a phone, you have to get this smart tech. So less is more when it comes to this radiation. So I would say get yourself a landline and try to use it less. Personally, I'm getting myself an alphanumeric pager. I'm going all the way back to the pager time. But I've got my wired internet. I've got my office landline. I've got my home landline. And I'm totally dialed in still. And I think everyone else can do that and really mitigate the exposure to all of this, because it is getting cranked up. And I'm in a very unique situation. So I made these phone bags, these blackout bags. You put your phone in, it doesn't work, right? Well, they stopped working come March 2020 because 5G was getting turned up so much. Even on 4G phones, they're still getting turned up to propagate this 5G network. So I had to make double-layered bags, two layers of the silver fabric, whereas it was just one layer before. And come check it out at S-P-E-R-O, sparrowgear.com is my company. And then finally, I had to make three-layer bags that are silver, nickel, and copper. So the radiation coming off these smartphones was so intense that I had to triple the fabric that I was using. People are getting exposed to a lot more radiation than before. People are showing symptoms of it. It's a lot. It's a lot, yes. So I think mitigate, and yeah, you could maybe go get a – there's different types of 5G. There's high band, low band, and mid band, and there's going to be probably another option out there that's better than your iPhone, but probably you're going to stick with the iPhone, I would imagine. But there's things that you can do. You can get wired internet, and you can get an adapter so you can put your phone on airplane mode and still access the internet with this little adapter that's wired. Like, the more that you learn about wired and get less on the wireless, the less exposure you have to the radiation, and the more that you can learn about it and be more grounded and balanced and what have you. The thing about EMF radiation that people don't grasp is it's slow, like it'll slowly deplete your minerals or your dopamine or whatever. So then after a year of being around your smartphone too much, then you're depressed. Or then, you know, one thing that EMF does that people don't grasp is it breaks down your blood-brain barrier and has you get exposed more to these metallics. So the chemtrails or the aluminum in your deodorant or whatever, and then you get exposed to the EMF, and now you're absorbing these metallics more, and then more susceptible to things like Alzheimer's down the line and whatnot, and this weird slow kill. But we can empower ourselves and educate and mitigate, you know?
Well, we've had Dave Stetzer on the program, and he actually sells that meter that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that available through the Power Mall. But the thing is that meter you can stick in there and measure to see whether or not you've got better than 50 cycles in each of your outlets. And then he's got these little devices that you can actually plug onto the outlets that are kind of funky in their output and balance it. I actually bought, because I don't have a smart meter on the side of my house.
Nice.
I have it on a power pole. And I actually put a shield, an EMF shield, over the top of that smart meter. They still can access it. They still can read it. But I have heard stories about people who have stood in front of one of these smart meters and all of a sudden got dizzy and fell over.
Well, that's how that's how I got on my journey. Is I had a smart meter on the other side of the wall where I was living, sleeping, and making the movie Frankenskies, actually. And after 6 months of basically constant exposure to this smart meter, I started getting electrosensitivity symptoms. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know about what smart meters were. But now I know, and people, I encourage you to opt out, or distance is your friend, you know? Even if you can find yourself some of that old lead paint, I don't think the lead paint was actually that bad. I think the think tanks knew that the lead paint would protect us from 5G and got it out of there. And also there was lead in the petroleum and the gasoline at the time, and maybe they were actually getting people sick with that. So they made the gas unleaded, said everyone was eating the paint, which I don't think they necessarily were. So there's nickel-based paint, too, that they sell to be EMF protective. But, yes, getting a meter, knowing about dirty electricity coming out of the outlets and EMF radiation, which is a little different, and embodying that, like honoring the truth with integrity. You can opt out of smart meters in some states and get the old analog one. It's really good that yours is a distance from your home. But knowing about it and not just being a victim, like – They say ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. We're in like this complete war zone right now. Like, ignorance is not bliss, people. So empower the truth and acknowledge it, and then you can rise with, you know, while you you know, protect yourself and whatnot.
Well, there are some people that just said, no, we're not putting a smart meter in. We want the analog, and they got their electricity shut off. And now they're having to legally go after the utility for that because it costs way more to put solar panels and everything else in play as opposed to getting the electric hooked up. And then, of course, the demands of the utility company are a whole different animal that we don't have time to talk about here. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Matt Landman. Go ahead.
Hi there. Matt, after reading that book by Arthur Furstenberg on the Invisible Rainbow. Yeah, I just wonder how many of these COVID symptoms are due to the increased EMF, and not to mention increased poison all over in the environment. And, you know, who keeps its statistics? It's generally a government entity. And they knew that some of this stuff was already starting to show, I think. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, we got COVID, you know. Anyway,
great job.
That's my thought.
Yeah, you're spot on. In my opinion, which I'm in a very unique position, being the activist and the guys I have an EMF protection clothing line. It's leading the industry on Earth. So there's like 20 different competitors, but I'm leading it, and I'm in a very unique position where I see what's going on and people are contacting me. And in my educated opinion, I think that 100% of all of it is actually low-level radiation symptoms, and people don't get that. And then people are shedding radiated cells, and then other people are – having a detox from being exposed to other people's radiated cells. And yeah, that's what I think is going on. And then when people have these things like, oh, loss of taste and all these wild things, this is radiation sickness symptoms. And they are turning it up drastically to the point that they penetrated my foam bags and I had to evolve not once but twice and make triple layered foam bags. That means the radiation is drastically higher. And another thing that people don't get is 5G is totally different than 4G. 5G makes your phone actually now a little cell tower where it's a receiver and a transmitter. It wasn't like that before. 5G is a carrier wave that's really small. So you got AM, FM radio waves and Wi-Fi and 4G and all this stuff. And these carrier waves can go far because of their size. The 5G is measured in millimeters and it can't go very far. So they have to have repeaters everywhere to make it like a mesh system where there's repeaters, Internet of Things, repeaters everywhere. And then they can have really fast data and self-driving cars and all this sort of stuff. But to have repeaters everywhere, they need this Internet of Things where your toaster is repeating the signal and your smart meter is repeating the signal and your phone is repeating the signal all the time. Even when you're not even using it, it's taking the signal from around and pushing it to the next device or cell tower. And that's a different form of radiation than we've ever been exposed to. It's not that it's more radiation than before, like 20 times more or something, which it would be like 50 times more radiation than before if you were going to give it a number. But really, it's a different type of radiation than we've ever been exposed to, and it's a more absorptive form of radiation because it's a smaller carrier wave than that Wi-Fi and the 4G and all those other things. So I do believe that people are showing symptoms, yes, and I think that that whole narrative was a smokescreen for it because telecom is very smart, and they don't want people to know what's really happening. And so the New World Order is buddy-buddy with all these, you know, big pharma and telecom and all these players that be with the chemtrails and everything. They come together and in their little evil think tanks, and they make these plans, you know, for humanity. And I do believe that that was the whole narrative was a smokescreen for this turn up of 5G. And we're going to see more of it, I do believe. And great job seeing that, hon.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Well,
thanks, Sherry, for your call.
Can I make one more statement?
Real quick.
Okay, I live in the country, and I usually only go to town about once a week, and these aren't real big towns, maybe 10,000 people, the two I usually go to. But when I go in, I am more drained, and I'm usually just riding in my car and going in and out of places because I try to plan my trips and stuff. But I get more drained from that than doing a lot of manual labor around here. And I'm more drained going to town than I am working outside doing manual labor here.
Amazing how that works.
Anyway, that's just anecdotal.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thanks, Sherry, for your call. Alan in Texas, you're on the phone with Matt Landman. Go ahead.
Yeah, Matt, it's serendipitous. Before I even knew you were a guest on the show today and what you were going to talk about, I was sitting here watching a DVD. It's called Harp, the Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. Did see your Frank and Skies website quoted on there. I don't know if they used some of your footage from the movie or if you were actually interviewed. I'll go back and watch it again. But I was sitting here trying to explain. I've tried to explain to people how these phased array, like the Harp systems and the Doppler system, is, you know, how they work. And the simplest way I can come up with is everyone's using a magnifying glass. You know, you go from a small magnifying glass. You can take the electromagnetic spectrum, you know, the visible part, you know, which is sunlight, and concentrate it, you know, to a place where it'll burn, you know, something. Then you get a Fresnel lens, a larger. It's just, you're just taking a larger area of the spectrum, the energy available, and concentrating it, and you can create heat much quicker. This is how a phased array radar system works, except for they're able to produce their own power and focus it and pinpoint it to a particular point in space and create a lot of energy out of it in a very small area. Same way a magnifying takes the visible light spectrum and concentrates sunlight down to where it will burn, you know, and become, you know, very powerful. And I know there's not a lot more time and a lot more things I would like to talk about. But, no, it's just serendipitous. I was sitting here watching this before I even knew you were coming on, and it's just kind of weird. Anyway, good show, guys. I'll let you go with that.
Well, I appreciate it, Alan. Thanks for your call. And Alan does a hell of a lot of research because he's with the Republic of Texas Radio Network, and I've been on his show before, so we're very well acquainted. But Alan is one of these research guys that's also degreed like yourself that knows this stuff inside and out. And this has always been a big topic of conversation with us, and we appreciate you being on the show, Matt. We're coming up to the end of our segment. Once again, actualactivist.com. Now, I've got sparrowprotectionclothing.com. Is that also an adequate website? And then sparrowgear.com is the other one for those of you interested in investigating clothing. That now 6G, how soon?
I don't even know if that's a thing. I think that 5G can be branded all these different ways, and they just don't want people fighting 5G, so they tell them more is coming. Like, the real obstacle is 5G, and they've yet to really fully deploy that 100%.
Wow. All right. There you have it. Matt Landman, thank you for your time here.
We're
out of time. We'll both be back tomorrow here on the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, what's left of it.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. of course, then the Oregarest and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.